God, I want to live that extraordinary life. And God, I am going to make a total commitment to you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message taken from the life of Caleb as he continues to unpack some of the characteristics of this man of faith. We had learned that it all went back to a life-changing choice of options that faced the children of Israel as they neared their destination, the Promised Land. Caleb was one of 12 spies sent to reconnoiter the Promised Land, and along with Joshua, made the choice to believe God rather than fear the giants they had seen in the land. We learn how Caleb's extraordinary willingness to stand alone in the face of fear and unbelief characterized the life that enabled him to win a great victory for God even late in his life. Pastor Grant brought home the point of Caleb's courageous example of faith, mentioning that whenever we stand up for God, God takes note. So again, we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message, Living the Extraordinary Life, Part 2. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
How are you dealing with God's delays? Are you getting impatient? Are you getting angry? Are you getting discouraged? You see, our problem is that we're so accustomed to having everything done overnight. That God making us wait is really a burden. We're really upset. You know, somebody just gave me, one of the members just gave me an Alexa for my birthday, and I didn't really know some of these new technology. But now I can get information immediately without even lifting a finger. So yesterday I said, Alexa, who is expected to win the Eagles game? You might like the answer. Alexa said immediately, the Saints by 8 points. I don't like whoever answered a while ago. But we'll see. I can ask her anything. I said to her, Alexa, play me a free Brooklyn Tabernacle album. Of course, you notice the word free. Alexa searches and she finds some free Brooklyn Tabernacle, and immediately I'm listening to free Brooklyn Tabernacle. I can get her to do anything, just about answer any question. How many people are in Jamaica? I did ask her that. She said 2,990,000 people. Is that right? I hope 10 of you didn't come back and spoil her number. But here is the deal. Alexa will respond immediately, but God is not Alexa. Are you with me? He will not be hurried. Now, it's not that God can't go fast, because it took him 6 days to create this vast universe, and this universe, folks are still trying to figure it out. It took him 6 days. You know, we can go into the theology of what a day was, but that's not what I'm here about today. But God has made it clear his timetable is not our timetable. It's 1,000 years as a day, right? And a day is like 1,000 years. So I know you said, God, I don't have a day to wait. If your day is 1,000 years, but God is timeless. He's not on our schedule. Listen, put it in your notes. God will not be hurried. Are you with me? God will not be hurried. Can I tell you one of the main reasons why God will not be hurried? One of the main reasons why God will not be hurried is because he's creating a masterpiece out of each born-again Christian. Amen? Every born-again Christian, he's making into a masterpiece. Listen. He's transforming each of us into the image of Christ, and this priceless work of art cannot be hurried. If you recognize, stop for a minute God is transforming us into the image of Christ, and come now, that ain't an easy job. You know where he picked you up. You know the condition he found you in. Now, do you believe you can look like Jesus overnight? It's going to take some work, amen? And all those of us who want God to say yes to everything we want, you better believe he ain't going to make you like Jesus if all he does is say yes, yes, yes. Not even those of you who are parents. I'm a parent. I never said yes. I probably said no more than I said yes. And God is a parent. He's our heavenly Father. He's not going to give us what we ought not to get. Amen. He's going to take his time. Listen, he ain't going to give you everything you want. And he's going to drop the stick on you every now and then. Somebody needs to say amen. But do you realize that part of the drama, part of the reason why the process has been slowed is us? If God is trying to turn us into the image of Christ, and you are determined to go in the wrong direction, man, 5 years ago, let's be honest now, some of us are no more, have not progressed spiritually in the last year or two. We were a baby then and we are a baby now. Well, if you're not doing your part of growing, do you realize you're frustrating the process? The process is going to be slowed. And may God help us to realize God is determined to transform us into the image of Christ. He is making a masterpiece. You will become like Christ. No, it ain't going to happen. Might happen in this lifetime. Hey, but little by little, he's sure working on us right now. Little by little, he's changing me. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus is changing you? Aren't you glad you're not what you used to be? But by God's grace, he's changing us. And my friend, listen, you just relax. It ain't going to happen overnight. Masterpieces are not made in a hurry. But do you know, as God works in my life, as he transforms me into the image of Christ, I need not forget that God is a God of perfect timing. This is the same God who, when Abraham is there on the mountain and he is about to slay his son, God says what? Don't lay that life on the boy. And here is a ram in the bush. At the specific time, God shows up with a ram in the bush. He's a God of perfect timing. This is the same God, my friend, who when they were at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was behind them and the Red Sea was before them, this God, this on-time God, he says to Moses, hold out your staff over the Red Sea, and a path just opened up. And as I shared with you last week, it was such a wide path that 1 million+ people could go across on perfectly dry land. He's an on-time God. Amen. Oh, by the way, this is the same God who, when they decided to throw, when Jonah, you heard about Jonah? A bad boy. And he said, throw me over. What a story. Well, I better leave that message out because I could get sidetracked here. But just suffice, is that something? He knew he was the cause of the trouble. Why didn't he repent? There's somebody here who perhaps needed to hear that. You're holding on to some stuff and God is whooping you. But instead of repenting, you're holding on like, keep whooping me. So that's what Jonah said. God, keep whooping me. Throw me overboard. And our on-time God had a fish. Not any ordinary fish. You better believe this was a special created fish. You realize that. This wasn't just, they say, a whale. This one does no ordinary whale. No ordinary whale going to suck you in and you just, number one, he don't want you because that's not what he eats, all right? So here he is in this fish. Would you agree with me? God is an on-time God. He's an on-time God. And even while he's working on you, he is going to do what's very best for you. And he's going to do it on the right time. So my friend, listen. as the 76ers used to say. Hallelujah. Trust the process. Amen. Trust the process. It's a long process. Listen, the 76ers, I don't know if they'll ever make it to the championship. We're trusting their process. But let me tell you, I'm trusting God's process. Because you and I are going to arrive at our destination. Believer, one of these days, we're going to look like Jesus. Amen? Third, we must recognize God has empowered us for battle. In Matthew 28, we have what's called the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded us, go and make disciples of all nations. Listen, listen, GCA, listen good. To those listening on the radio, listen good. This commission is not for the leaders. This commission is for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, each believer must go and make disciples of all nations. But sadly, in the generation in which we're living, many Christians have become spectators. And I want to ask you, my friend, to what degree are you carrying out God's Great Commission? Listen good. It is impossible to live an extraordinary life unless we are willing to carry out the Great Commission. Did you hear what I said? I want you to get that, because you may never have heard it put quite that way before. You cannot live an extraordinary life if you're not involved in carrying out the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is not a suggestion, it's a command. And if we fail to carry it out, we are living in disobedience. And God is not about to applaud a disobedient Christian. I hope you're listening to me. And so God is calling every blood-bought believer to get actively involved in this Great Commission of making disciples of all nations. And listen, there are so many ways that God is calling us to make disciples. May God help us that we realize that this has got to be one of the focal points of our life.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Caleb was 85 years old, but he was ready to go to battle. And we read what he said. Two things I want us to learn from what Caleb said. We must wage war for Christ despite the difficulty. Despite the difficulty. Verse number 11 says of Joshua 14, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now is my strength for war. Verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out. We must wage war for Christ despite the difficulty. Amen. What Caleb was attempting to do was extremely difficult, for the Anakim was still there. Well, if you were here last week, you remember who were the Anakim. Who were the Anakim? The Anakim were the giants, right? The Anakim were the giants. These boys were so big. Listen, King Kong. These boys were so big that all the spies said we felt like grasshoppers in their sights. These were some big boys. And now 45 years later, the Anakim is even more entrenched. The cities are so well fortified. And this 85-year-old dude is saying, give me this mountain. What mountain are you asking God for? The young people all around us are being imprisoned by Satan and by evil. And I'm asking God, God, give us this mountain. And I'm asking you to claim that with me, that together as a church, we will say, God, give us this mountain. God, help us that we might make impact on this generation. Give us this mountain. Despite the difficulty, despite the challenges, God is able. Lord, give us this mountain. But listen, we must do battle even though it is so difficult. You see, sometimes we get worn out by the difficulty, but we forget who God is. We're talking about the God who here were the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea before them, and he opened the path. And I'm here to say, this is the same God today. Hallelujah. He's still alive and he's still working with us. Amen. So listen, not only must we be willing to do the difficult. Listen, second, put this in your notes. God's power assures victory. God's power assures victory. 85-year-old Caleb was ready to bust the heads of some giants. Oh my goodness, but despite how strong he felt, he knew he couldn't achieve victory in his own strength. I always worry when folks feel they can do the job. Part of our problem is sometimes we only want to do a ministry that we know we can do. It's a problem when you do a ministry you know you can do, because there's a danger of doing it because you know you can do it. It's your own strength. What we need is sometimes to go after things that we know we cannot do. So Caleb said, if the Lord is with me, I shall be able to drive them out. This is incredible, you know. The entire Israelite company was afraid of them. And here is 85-year-old Caleb. These boys are even more entrenched. And he says, if the Lord helps me, I'll be able to drive them out. And you get to chapter 15. That's exactly what he did. He drove them out with God's power. And my friend, with God's power, we will have success. Are you willing to commit? You say, Pastor, I'm 75 years old. I'm retired already. You came to me a little late. I wish you had come 25 years ago when I just want to remind you, my boy Caleb was what? 85. Oh yes, your ministry may change. My sister, my cousin, now home with Jesus. She had MS and she couldn't walk. She was always had to be pushed around and carried. But boy, I tell you, she had a powerful ministry on the telephone. She could talk, she could dial the phone. And she could speak to you, she could encourage you, she could encourage you to get to receive Jesus. She had an incredible ministry. Oh, you may not be able to do everything some of these young brothers can do, but every human, every Christian needs to enroll for battle. And my friend, if you're not in battle, you need to sign up today. Amen? Finally, we must commit to following God with all our heart. Six times, the Bible says, Joshua, follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb, six times. God said it some of the times. Moses said it some of the times. Joshua said it some of the times. And one time, right here in this chapter, Caleb himself said, I followed God with my whole heart. Don't ask God to give you an extraordinary life if you're not willing to follow God with all your heart. Because of all the things I have said, this is the most important. Because when I'm following God with all my heart, I will stand alone for Him. I will realize I got to get in the battle. All of this stuff. I will face my giants with faith, not fear. We talked about that last week. All these things when I'm following God with all my heart. Are you following Him with all your heart? Oh, you're a Christian. But does He have all your heart? How many of you would like, those of you are hoping to be married, how many of you would be happy marrying someone who is only halfway committed? I'm really not sure if it's you, but I'll marry you. If you think it's me, I'll marry you. It's okay. Is that who you want to marry? Your family is in a burning building. Do you want a fireman to come by who's half-hearted? Well, I'll try, but I don't. I'm a little tired, really, you know. I'm not. So let's get it straight. We don't mind being hard. We want everybody else to be committed. But God must be satisfied with our half-heartedness. Listen, some churches might mind, but God does. He spoke to a church in the Bible in Revelation 3, the church in Laodicea. And as God, the Lord Jesus, speaks to them, He says, boy, I wish you were either hot or cold. He says, but because you're just lukewarm, you're just half-hearted, He says, I'm gonna vomit you. I'm not going to exegete it, but I'm only going to say this to you. What God is telling us, He's disgusted about half-hearted Christianity. Did you hear? God is saying, I am disgusted about half-hearted Christianity. But all that can change today. You see, you may have come in as a half-hearted Christian. You don't have to leave a half-hearted Christian, amen? Because today you can say, God, I want to give you all to Jesus I surrender. You can make a change today, and you can, from this day on, you can say, God, I want to live for you. I want my life to count for you. God, if you in plan, since you have a plan to make my life extraordinary, I don't want to miss that. And God, I want to live that extraordinary life. And God, I am going to make a total commitment to you. So let me close with my abridged version of an article I read some years ago. I have stepped over the line and finished and done with low living, tame visions, and dwarf goals. I now live by faith, lean on God's promises, and labor with power. My face is set. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My companions are few, and my guide is reliable. I won't be bought, detoured, or turned back. I won't give up, let up, or slow up until I have stayed up, prayed up, and spoken up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I will serve till He comes, share till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me, for I am a disciple of Christ. Is that true of you? My friend, it can be, if you say, I surrender. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.